ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
The mobile hunter is obsessed with exploring unfamiliar places, and this is what our gear is designed to do. At Latitude Outdoors, we build mobile hunting equipment for hunters who like to move often and move fast. Whether you're an experienced whitetail hunter or new to the game, if you want to be mobile, we have options that are worth considering. Our saddles, climbing sticks, and platforms are made right here in the USA and are available at latitudeoutdoors.com. Thanks for checking out the gear, and good luck this season.
Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle.
Hey guys, Nate Bailey here with the Life Outdoors and Bear Bow Hunters podcast. And today we're going to talk about the big game review. The big game review team is reviewing the elk season, the bow season here in Oregon. And they're going to change a few things come 2022. Some things for the better, but I think also we need to really look at this plan and see where it's going. Before we get jumping into this though, I'd like to ask you guys, if you're getting anything from these podcasts, if you could go check out the stuff that we have on our websites, the Life Outdoors with a Z on the end, lifeoutdoors.com. We're putting a bunch of new hats up there. We got a bunch of new stuff coming, and also barebowhunter.com, and we have hats up there as well. And that is what helps bring this stuff to you guys. So let's get enough of that stuff. Let's get into the meat of this podcast or video. Now, if you go on my ODFW and type in elk season 2022, you'll come up on a page or revised elk regulations or something like that. And you type it in on myodfw.com, you're going to get the whole gamut of what they've been talking about and what's been proposed and who's been talking and all those things. And it's worth your time to go over and read it. Also on YouTube, there's a very good ODFW video that explains what I'm going to go over today. He leaves out a few things that are in this team review. This came out March 16th of 2021, so this has been out a little while. I wanted to really review it and actually know what I was talking about when I brought this to you guys' attention. I didn't want to just bring something to your attention that was going to be tough for you guys to or something that I couldn't get across right. So with that said, let's jump right into this thing and talk about it. So what's happened pretty much is if you look at the process, bow season was created to pull people away from rifle season. Rifle season started to get pretty popular. I think there were like over 60 million rifle tags at one time in the state of Oregon, or 60,000, I should say. There's a chart in here, but there's a lot of rifle tags in the state of Oregon. And they're trying to pull people away from some of those rifle seasons to try to make the hunt better for people so it wasn't so crowded. Makes sense. But they didn't think that it was going to work the way that it has. You know, that was in 1979 when they made that first season. It's pretty crazy because in 1979, they didn't think that it was going to go the way it has in bow hunting. Don't mind my dogs. They're running around behind me. We're down at the creek. Great place to do this podcast, but they're at the creek anyhow. So I'm killing two birds with one stone here. I'm wearing my dogs out and doing the podcast. Now, the reason that this is becoming an issue now is because, well, a couple different things. One of them is they say that there's a lack of management in the eastern certain units, probably mostly Northeast Oregon. And they can't manage it because it's all under general season. So they can't manage the amount of bulls taken out of the herd or those kind of things. They can't make those management levels change. And they want to be able to do that. So from a management position, I could see where they're coming from. Another thing that they're saying is some of the units for branch bulls, they're actually having a higher success rate of elk killed per capita than rifle hunters in those units. So that's something that kind of went against their plan of creating bow season. And you guys, you could agree or disagree with this. I disagree with a ton of it. I'm just putting out there what the reasoning and why they're doing what they're doing, okay? So I'm not going along with this. I'm just saying this is how it is. So they're saying, one, management, two, there's high ratios. Their bull to cow ratios are going down in some of those units, and they're not meeting their, and then in other units, they're not meeting their management objectives with the bow season, which kind of is contradictory of itself. So I don't quite understand that. Another thing, and I would say this is probably one of the biggest reasons to put some of these units into a draw. They're going to have to go to a draw. There's so many people using this now over there that it's becoming really a crowded unit, and when you're talking bow hunting elk, and especially the way that we do it here at the Life Outdoors, it's really hard to hunt crowded areas because you end up calling each other in and things like that. So I understand that part. Another thing is rifle hunters are complaining that the bow hunters are putting a lot of pressure on the animals in those units, and that's pushing them on private land. And that's true too. I think there's some validity there. I hunt the Ochoco unit quite a bit, and I see that happening there. So there's validity, and it's really something that, you know, I think there is a benefit to going to put some of these units into a draw status or draw unit. I've been hunting Ochoco as much as I can. I grew up hunting Ochoco back in the 80s with my bow. And back then you just bought a tag and you went over there and hunted, and then you could hunt anywhere else in the state. Back then I never saw anybody else hunting with a bow in Ochoco's. Last year we hunted in the Ochoco's with bow, and we called in, I don't know, 3 or 4 pickups. So that's not just people, that's pickups come driving to our bugles. So I do see some of this, you know, having to change. I do see some of that going on, but what I'm calling into question are those units that really don't get hunted a lot. And I think we as bow hunters need to understand how fortunate we are in the state of Oregon, because you have a general season that you can, and you know, if elk in one area aren't bugling, you can move to another area and get into bugling elk. I think if you limit that with some of the bow seasons that we have, some of the smaller units, I think you're going to really hamper people's hunting abilities. Another thing is fire season. It seems like it's getting more and more prevalent each year. We're having to worry more and more about fires. So if you have a draw tag in a unit and that unit is all under fire, you're just not going to hunt. And right now, you could find somewhere to hunt during fire season. You're not stuck to a unit. So these are some of the things that, some of the reasons I'm doing this video is I want you guys to think about this stuff. This change that they're looking at, here's the summary. I'm going to read the bullet points. This is some of the concerns, and this is the major concerns that I have with them changing things around. And I realize they're going to change something. I mean, there's no way we're going to get around this. They're going to change something, but I think we need to do it with a level head, something that's going to affect everybody, that's going to help everybody. And I think we could do that. So here are the concerns. I'll read them to you. Change is not needed biologically. Oregon's one place where you can hunt every year for an elk. You can hunt every year. The ability to hunt while building preference points. So if you're trying to get, say, Mount Emily or Winnehaw, you can still hunt. The desire to engage new hunters into archery, so it's easy for somebody to get a general tag and then have a big area to hunt and then to bring people into it. I just helped a young man get his stuff together. This is his first year elk hunting. He helped me pack out an elk last year. this is his first year elk hunting, and he was totally lost. And so I think by having general tags, that makes it easier. You just tell him, go buy a general tag, and we'll figure out a way to get you out there. And the impacts from fire closers, that's one of the big things. Now, this is the goals that they're saying, that the team, the archery team is saying. Now, listen to these goals, and then you guys make your decisions. I'm not going to tell you how to think here. I think we all as hunters have perceptions. We know what we know to be the way that things, we think things should be. So I think that's the way that we should approach this. And I think we should contact the people that are speaking for us. OHA is probably the biggest person speaking for us right now. I know somebody who used to work there, used to be in a paid position there at OHA, and now he's doing it as a volunteer. And he told me he's working just as hard as a volunteer as he was when he's paid. If you guys get back to me with some of your comments and concerns, just you know, email me at southernoregonhunting@gmail.com, or you could even contact me on Facebook or Instagram. You guys know where to find me. Or you could comment below on this, but if you guys get a hold of me, and I'll pass this on to him as well. But this is what the district's looking at. Allowing district biologists to adjust tags across all user groups. So when they have to adjust certain units for herd densities and things like that, they're right now, say Heppner unit. Is Heppner a draw bow? I can't remember. Say one of these units that's a draw bow, that's not a draw bow. So if they have to adjust the herd size, they're adjusting just the rifle guys. And, you know, that you could say what you want, but that's really not fair. If the management of that unit needs to be adjusted, and they need to say they're going to do different things in that unit, everybody that hunts that unit should have something to go in, some reason to adjust to it. So I think the management of that is a good idea. I think that's a good idea. And I see where they're coming from at that point. But I think they need to look at the quality of that unit before they just go shotgunning everything. Because some of these units, of course, you know, like Winnaha. Winnaha for bows isn't even close to harvest rates as rifle because of the way the unit is put together. And it's long open spaces, and a lot of rifles are shooting long shots with the rifles. So Winnaha wouldn't be one of those. But if you look at some of these other units, they're pretty darn close. I mean, so if they have to adjust the bull ratios in that unit for, and then it's under a general tag or a general unit, then the general guys are just the ones that are going to get hit. So I think they need to look at it per unit or maybe even per region. The second thing they say is to provide the ability to address hunter overcrowding. And that, you guys, is a big deal. I'm telling you, I've been into bow hunting elk since 85, 86. I was probably 16 or 17. 86, 87. I've been into it that long. And what I've seen then change-wise is a lot. So that is a problem that needs to be addressed. I think hunters need to be a part of that. And that's what we're doing this for, guys. This is what I'm trying to get you guys involved to where you feel like you need to be involved, because you do. Because I tell you what, if we're not involved, they're going to make decisions on who they hear the most. And a lot of that is probably not bow hunters. So, okay. And then to allow equal utilization of the resource. So to say that the rifle hunters, the muzzleloader hunters, and the bow hunters, they can adjust the biological resource. So not just one group gets all the good out of it. And then to create consistent regulations. Now, this one's going to be a problem for me, and I'll tell you later, because there's some craziness going on with the way that I see it. And then here's a big one, and this is a big one for most of my buddies that have a lot of points, and that's to address the point creep in Eastern Oregon. And it is a real problem. I know people that every year they're like, well, I got so many people in front of me with one point in front of me, and until they get the tag, I'm not even going to get the tag. And there's getting to be more and more people like that. So they need to do something. And I agree with that. So, I'm going to skip through a bunch of this stuff because I'm not going to bore you with it. You guys need to go over there, check it out, get this PowerPoint, go through it and check it out. They talk about the wintering MO and the bull ratios and archery harvest and all this stuff. And you guys really need to look through it and understand that. And I'm going to, because it does have input, but I think some of the things that we need to really concentrate on, and just to get your guys' juices flowing, we need to look at what's going on with how ODFW is looking at this. Now, one thing that ODFW is looking at when they're talking about putting these new controlled hunts is they're thinking that they're not taking anything away from the bow hunter because they went to a choose your weapon hunt. So, you know, all the other hunts are choose your weapon. They really don't understand. I don't think they understand that the reason that we hunt elk in bow season is because they're bugling. So that, I think that's going to be a big issue. They really need to understand, what we're really out there for is to call bulls into our face and get them in at close range. And I see some of the ideas that they have because they think that, you know, with archery equipment getting more and more advanced, and I think they're going to allow more technology in and give us less numbers in the controlled hunt area, and then say, well, your technology is high enough now, you can hunt in the general season or the any weapon area, so you could draw that tag too. So we're really not taking anything away from you. And I see that coming down the road. I could just see it in their thinking. If you guys read through the PowerPoint slides, you'll see it coming out in their thinking too. So I think we need to kind of let them know exactly what we're out there for. And I think most of us are out there for a backcountry bugle fest, in your face, packing elk out on our back type hunt. And that's what we're looking for. Not necessarily, rifle hunters aren't necessarily after that, for the most part. Of course, there's, you know, all the hardcore rifle hunters. If I hunt with a rifle, that's how I'm going to do it. But for the most part, most of the guys are, you know, from the road to a mile in or 2 miles in. That's why they like some of these units. They have a lot of roads. So I think we need to make our voices very clear on what we really are out there for bow season, and maybe even make some ideas about how we can, man, I don't want to say, here's the deal. We're losing opportunity over increased numbers of people going into bow hunting and increased harvest rates. There's a couple things here. One is, you know, bow hunting's getting very popular. There's people like Joe Rogan getting into it that have made the popularity go up, and I think that's a great thing. I really do. As hard as it is for me to say that sometimes, when I'm turning away from my selfish, I want to hunt by myself type thing to what we need in the sport is more people. It's a great thing. But at the same time, the more we bring technology into things, say we go to crossbows where you can have it cocked and you can put it on your shoulder and you just put a scope on something and pull a trigger. Because there's other states, you guys, that are using crossbows during archery season. It's just going to bring more, it's going to bring more people into it, and it's going to increase those harvest rates. So we need to understand, do we want a long season? Or do we want more people with increased harvest rates? It's one of those things that we could probably address too. So to wrap this thing up, and guys, please leave your comments down here. I got some comments. I asked for some comments on Instagram, and I'm going to address those. But to wrap this up, I'm going to show you a map of what they're projecting to do. And I think we really need to pour over this map. You could go on, if you go onto my ODFW and check these maps over, and you start looking at this stuff, you'll understand some of what's going on and what they're looking at. And I think this is the map here. So they're looking at cutting the state in half, just like they do for rifle season, which is a horrible way to cut the state in half for elk. It's horrible. And the reason is because they're cutting wilderness areas in half, because they put it at the Pacific Crest Trail. So anything east of the Pacific Crest Trail is eastern Oregon. Anything west is western Oregon. They're going to cut the general season to where they have an eastern Oregon general season and a western Oregon general season. So if you're, say you're hunting the rogue unit and you're walking the Pacific Crest Trail and you see an elk on the right-hand side as you're going north, you can't hunt that elk with your general tag. Even though that's the same elk that probably just ate on the other side of that. Now, I realize there's other units that do that too, but if you look at, say, Ochocos, Ochocos is a mountain range that's surrounded by the unit. So the elk don't really intermix in a daily basis like they do in all of the Cascade units. So this Cascade, splitting the Cascade down the middle off of the Pacific Crest Trail, they want to keep it cohesive with deer season and rifle elk season, and so they split it right down the middle, but that really doesn't work. And the reason is because those are the same exact elk that use both of those units, like the Keno and the Rogue, the McKenzie, and you know, like the Upper Deschutes and the Melrose and the Seniam. So all those units, the Dixon and Fort Rock, all those units, or not Dixon, but Indigo and Fort Rock, all those units actually, man, you're hunting the same ground. Whereas you go over east, you're not hunting the same ground in every unit. You're hunting a mountain range that's within that unit. Like Steens, I mean, Steens Mountain is in that one unit, or Ochocos is in that unit, or Murder's Creek is in that unit. There's not a whole lot, there's intermixing between the herds in those units. So that's the first thing that I think we as bow hunters, my dog back there, that's the first thing that we as bow hunters need to, I think we need to address, is we have to understand that we need to do something to address that. And most of the Western Oregon elk hunting is over on the coast. My idea is, and I'm going to run this by you guys, and if this makes sense to you, contact OHA, contact ODFW. You could, when you go on there and look at this plan that they're creating, there's a contact in there where you could contact them for this program and write them an email. But tell them to move the line over to I-5, and that would create, so anything east of I-5 is eastern Oregon, and anything west of I-5 is western Oregon. And with the exception of like the Rogue unit and maybe Dixon or Indigo unit, that pretty much is how the elk are pretty much divided in the state. You know, if you look at the Willamette Valley, Oak Ridge, of course, has some elk, but the way that it's divided is, you know, you got that big valley going through the state. And I think that's a little bit smarter to divide the state is through I-5. I think that would be the smartest way to do it. I don't know what you guys think. Another thought that I had is, why make it a divided general season? That makes no sense to me really at all. Why would you divide a general season? I do agree with making these controlled units. I do agree with that, because those are the units that they're really talking about. Those are the units that have the overpopulation, that they can't control the bull populations in there during bow season, that they can't control, or the harvest, the bull harvest in there during during general season. All these other units, if you look at the harvest rates, like let's pick Interstate. I don't know if Interstate even got a bull killed during bow season last year. I know Fort Rock didn't. So why are we worried about managing those units away from a general season in Western Oregon? Another thing that you got to think about is the units that are general in Eastern Oregon, most people they're not going to get that tag if they can't hunt the coast, because the coast holds a ton of elk. So that's going to push all those people. They're going to have to decide on whether or not they're going to hunt Eastern general or the coast. if they don't draw their controlled tag. That's an issue because you coast boys are going to get inundated with people. I'm telling you right now, if I have to choose between Silver Lake unit and say Checo, which one's got more elk? You see what I'm saying? If I have to choose between the Trask unit and say, you know, wagon tire unit, which one am I going to choose? So it's going to push all those people on the coast. And if they just kept it as a general, it's not going to push those people on the coast. They're not going to have to choose. It's going to spread people out. And I think that's going to help those control units. I think that's going to help people be able to hunt around this controlled system. And really, what'll happen is, what I see happening is it's going to push all the people over on the coast, and then they're going to have to make all those units controlled as well. And then we're just going to have this little group of units that are general that don't have a whole lot of elk in them, but they're going to be overran because everything else is controlled. I just see that coming down the road. So those are the big things that I wanted to bring up with this podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy what I bring to you. And there's so much more here. There's so much more that I didn't touch on. This is just to get you started thinking about it. The more questions and stuff I get, there's probably a bunch of questions that you guys have by now. You can ask those questions. I've done a lot of digging. That's the only difference between is I've done a lot of digging here, and I've looked at it. I was part of the ODFW Access and Habitat Board, so I kind of know how they think, how ODFW kind of thinks about things and what they're looking at. So I kind of get a good take on what's going on here. So what I would like to say is leave me your questions. I'll do another podcast to answer those questions, maybe a Facebook Live or a YouTube Live that we could go through and answer some of these questions. I think that would be very good before June, so we could get all of our emails into the people so they hear from us, because we have to get in front of this thing. If the way that they're going to set it up is going to affect us from here on out. It never goes backwards. It always goes forward. And it's a loss of opportunity, and we don't need to lose any more opportunity. So, I see in another couple of years, if this goes through the way that they already have it planned right now, that I bet you that West, just to keep the pressure off of it, is going to have to go mostly to draw units also. So I think if we keep a bigger general area, we could take some of that pressure off of there and continue with and try to meet all the criteria that they're putting those other ones in controlled hunts for. So, all right. Hopefully that helps, guys. Please like and subscribe. Hit that bell and you'll see the next one of these coming up. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Barebow Hunter Podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Barebow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Barebow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Barebow goodness in them, Barebow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.
Watch Primo's Truth About Hunting, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, as they chase turkey, elk, deer, waterfowl, and predators all over North America.
Out there, what you call a limb hanger.
Now on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. From antelope in the Western Plains to the whitetails of the Midwest and giant black bears in Canada, watch 100% bow hunting action on Respect the Game, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.